from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
That's an ongoing process, so I think we continue on. It's not like all of a sudden we have to make cuts and we haven't been thinking about it. We've been thinking about it really every day. So we have a very good idea where we're at. There are moving parts. There's different rules and eligibilities and different things like that, different needs, injuries, things like that that you take into account in order to set the roster and take advantage of trying to keep as many of the good players as you can, and because we have a lot of good players.
They do have a lot of good players, and I'll be honest with you, Jeremy Kahn, I don't know who's going to stay. You know, Daryl Worley is listed as a DB on their website?
That must be a mistake, right? Or
it has him listed as DB.
Yeah, maybe it's a mistake.
It has to be.
Well, you know, the other thing with this.
It also has.
Think it's messed up?
No, it's not messed up. That's Brandon Stevens. All right.
All right. Okay. Your eyes are just bad?
No. Worley is too. I was looking for another DB. That's Brandon Stevens and Worley listed just as DBs.
Yeah, if you need some DBs, I can help you find them. So many douchebags out by where I live.
Any surprise cuts?
No, I mean, not for me. Like, there was nothing. I thought Ken McCusick made a great point that if you were playing at the end of the third preseason game, the likelihood of you making this team probably wasn't great unless you're showing out. And that's kind of what happened with Pepe Williams, too. We were talking about, he was on the field at the end of the game. That means they're evaluating you and that you can go out there and play in a game, whether you play well, something happens, right, and they decide to keep you. But I always wonder about this team and how many roster spots are actually open, because we talk about it all the time, whether people want to give them credit or not. They draft so unbelievably well, and then they also find gems in the undrafted market there to invite in for camp. So they always have a lot of guys to choose from, and that's why I'm saying, like, I don't think there's a lot of open spots outside of some special teams and depth things.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see any surprises with this. I mean, where are positions? Yeah, I mean, you got a backup quarterback. With the running backs, you know that's going to who those guys are. You know who your tight ends are. You know who your wide receivers are. Your offensive line. You know all these people. Your front seven. You know who that is. Well, if there is a front seven, and for the most part, you know your DBs.
Yeah,
I don't know where the surprises could come from on a team that went 13-4 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where the surprises going to come from?
I mean, when you had a rise, so first off, I guess some people could say the turnover rate, you lost a lot in free agency, but, I mean, did you? Like, Jadeveon Clowney is the one clear loss, and I know people want to point to the offensive line since we have questions about it, but I still need to see what those two cats that went to the Jets are going to look like this year, because I'd be willing to bet you that the Ravens to move a lineman when they need offensive linemen and a guy that started for you for a late-round pick, It's kind of telling me that they don't think he's going to bring as much to the table this year as maybe some other teams. And how often have they made really bad trades?
Yeah.
How often? Like, seriously.
I mean, wide receivers, you got Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, Tylan Wallace?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
So you said, hold on, give me the names again. Bateman, Flowers, Aguilar, Wallace, Tez Walker.
And there was Tez Walker.
And there's, isn't there another one in there, too?
It's either going to be Anthony Miller or Keith Kirkwood, or
maybe I'm thinking of someone else, like hybrid tight end. Yeah, I think those are the guys. Like, that's the anybody.
You got Mark Andrews. You have Isaiah Likely. You got Charlie Kolar.
Yeah. And by the way, too.
Kolar.
He's more of a blocking tight end, or at least that's what they want him to be.
Yeah.
Just got to get a little better in that department.
You think Ishmael makes it?
I think at worst he winds up on the practice squad.
Running back, you got Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell when he gets back. Owen Wright, my guy, is going to be on IL.
Rasheen Ali?
Yeah, maybe Rasheen Ali. Yeah, that's it. Who else you got?
Well, the only thing with Ali is he's just got to hold on to the ball. That was an issue in college. Well,
collecting a paycheck.
He is explosive, though. So,
and Ali is in concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any surprises. Just flip to the defense. Who? Yeah, I mean, you got Madubuike, you had Broderick Washington, Pierce.
I think that D-line is strong, man.
Yeah. Travis Jones, Brent Urban. I mean, where are you going? Linebacker, Adafi Owe, David Ajabo. Trenton Simpson, Malik Harrison. Where are you going?
Yeah. How do you feel about their pass rushers this year?
To be continued.
I hate saying
incomplete. I gotta see them.
So there's some people I've worked with that always do the I'll believe it when I see it thing, and I think that's somewhat of a cop out at times. But this might be one. It's like, hey, yeah. I haven't seen anything to say that they're both going to take a huge step forward. I think Owe does. I just have to see more of Jumbo. Yeah, I do. I think from the people I've talked to that I really trust in this industry, they keep bringing up. It's almost like, you know, the guy that keeps hitting doubles and those doubles turn into home runs?
Manny Machado in the early of his career. 50 doubles and all of a sudden, bam, became a home run hitter.
You don't want to hear it when the hurries turn into quarterback touches and the touches turn into, or the quarterback hits and the quarterback hits turn into sacks. That's what you're hoping. And always been doing a lot of the other two. Hits, hurries, just got to see more of the sacks. And
bring them down.
Yeah.
Bring them down. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Hello. I think we should make a wide receiver move. Look, I ain't complaining that. I just feel like that's going to be one of our weakest links. We know what Zay Flowers going to do and Tyler Wallace. But other than that, can't say too much about the other receiver.
I think Rashad Bateman's going to be fine if they actually find him.
I mean, we'll see, but... Can he stay healthy?
That's another. I mean, it's what he hasn't done yet. So, but even then, like, I would hope that if something came down to, the wide receivers getting banged up, that maybe that would force the hand to throw more two tight end sets or splitting one of those guys out wide.
Okay, so who would you cut in the wide receiver department then, Trippy?
I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I'm big on Deontay Hardy, but I just feel like if he's just taking up a roster spot just to be a special teamer, like, why not bring somebody in like a Wade or a vet receiver? But look, I want to say one thing for y'all. Hang up on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Raven fans, stop saying this the revenge tour. The revenge tour don't start in January when the playoffs start, because we know what we're gonna do in the regular season. We gotta see what we're gonna do in January. Hello. I holler at y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, I want
to. Rashad Bateman played in 16 games last year. We keep bringing up the health. He played 16 out of 17 games last year. Started 12. Why do we keep bringing up health?
I didn't want to say anything about it, but I think Trippy and Rashad Bateman kind of had a thing, right?
Who?
Trippy.
And Bateman, I think
they followed each other.
And then he unfollowed Trippy.
But you know what I think would be cool? And I think people going to take their picture by Trippy's wall, because he got his own wall at the stadium now.
He does.
Big time. Good. And then just tag him in it and say, hey, I'm hanging out with Trippy at every game.
Hello.
Hello.
Would you tell me, Joe, in my ear?
Hello. Is he going to say it on air?
Yeah, say it on air.
The Russell Gage was cut yesterday, so that was a vet receiver that they decided to let go of.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes you wonder what some of those guys have left at the end. It's tough because you've watched players in this league. You got younger guys coming in, and the shelf life of football players is not that large. That's why I keep saying, of all the sports that have guaranteed contracts, this is the one that should definitely have it.
Tim Patrick, too. I mean, depending on how you feel about Tim Patrick.
Did he get cut?
They're working to trade him, but he's not going to be on the Broncos this year. Samaje Perine is another person that the Broncos are going to let go of.
I don't mind Tim Patrick.
Patrick's a sneaky good player. And I don't I'm not mind telling him. He doesn't put you over the top to get, you know, he's not going to get you 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns more than likely, but I think he can come in and kind of fill that role.
I don't mind. Hey, Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders back in the news. We'll talk about that in the barbershop topic of the day during the 7 o'clock. During the 7 o'clock hour. But on the other side, you know who we're going to hear from next segment, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Who are you talking about?
Who are we going to hear from?
Oh, we're going to hear from Rashawn.
Because the Cowboys gave CeeDee Lamb the big deal. Who's next? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on medical leave. Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com is joining us. Now, Ken, you mentioned Patrick Ricard. You kind of put him in line with the tight ends. You got a running back in here, Derrick Henry, who likes to do his thing, likes to read the whole go. Does Patrick Ricard's role change any this year from last year?
I think he'll still play a lot of snaps. He actually played less last year than he did in 22 when the Ravens were the heaviest team in recent memory. But I think he'll play a little bit less in the backfield than he did 2 years ago, more like in line with last year and more in line as a tight end, where they frankly really need him now as a pass blocker. So it won't be a big change, I don't think, for Patrick Ricard. It'd be maybe 50% of snaps in total.
Okay.
Get your take on the wide receiving core. We've talked about it quite a bit. How do you feel about these guys going into the season? A lot of conversation about Bateman. I'd like to see him get off to a good start because I think he's way more talented than we've seen from him. And some of the injuries have hampered him, but it's also been not being on the same page with Lamar, and hopefully some of that changes.
Yeah, that's really the question. And Bateman, he needs a quarterback who wants to throw on schedule, wants to throw before the quarterback hits the break. And you think about the relationship Flacco and Derek Mason had. Mason had great complementary routes that he ran. He ran a 10-yard little comeback on the sideline. He'd also run a go route. And that was a great pair of routes for him to do because they were complimentary and Flacco didn't mind throwing the back shoulder to him. That's just not something Lamar does, is really throw to a receiver who has not yet made his break. And that's where Bateman gets his most separation, because the special part of his game is the wiggle and how he throws off a defensive back at
then
the top.
Then why did
he
sign the extension?
They got it cheap.
Security, maybe?
Well, why did he sign it?
Yeah.
Well, he missed that.
He was under the but he didn't have a way to get out. So
they got him on the cheap for what you would consider. And it was a fair deal for both considering the situation, because I think the Ravens kind of helped him out. And then he also took a deal that was friendly to them.
It was basically a fax gate, except the player was the one who got in trouble by reporting a couple days later.
Remember the Elvis Dumerville thing where he's like, oh, what happened there? And it's like, oh, he's not on your team anymore. So, hey. But as you look at some of the things that we were talking about with this team and this roster, the early schedule, lots been brought up of who they play and how tough it's going to be. How concerned are you heading into week one through week five, I guess, with that tough run?
I think I'd be most concerned about the offensive line gelling over that period against some high quality teams. So it's definitely a very hard September schedule. They face some teams who are going to put a lot of pressure on them, either with defense or with scoring a lot of points. That'll force their offensive line to play at a pretty decent level. And I think that is potentially a difficult situation for the Ravens. They'd probably do better to have some of their easier games up front on this the way this team is constructed.
Yeah, but Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, my favorite group, my favorite unit on this team is going to come as a surprise to all of you, and that's the D-line, Pierce, Jones, Madubuike, Washington. I love those guys, man. They are guys that get it done. And I noticed you have Brent Irvin out.
He's not really out. So yeah. Urban and Worley are two handshake guys. So this is a roster prediction for today that you're looking at. And Urban will be cut today because they'll use him to bring another guy onto the roster, move that guy to IR before the first game. And I guarantee you, Brent Urban will be on the roster week one against Kansas City, no doubt about it. He's a very valuable player, good run defender, good space denier, a guy who was part of that group of five with the other four names you mentioned, Pierce Jones, Matabike, and Washington, who played every single snap last year. I've never seen it happen with a defensive line before like that. And they'll be there. The fact that they're back is really remarkable.
Talk about the back end of the secondary, because a lot of talent here. When you look at the safeties they have, gives them a lot of options of what they want. I don't like saying base defense anymore, because I think base defenses are different for every team and you have options, but the flexibility with all these safeties and linebackers you have, they can pretty much run whatever they want.
Yeah, they have a lot of options to basically fill holes out of a very talented and deep safety group. So I have five safeties making it: Marcus Williams, Eddie Jackson, Hamilton, Washington, and Braid. And you look at that group, Braid is really a dime back, I would say, a guy who would replace a linebacker on third down. He's not the greatest back end guy. I wouldn't really trust him with that role on any kind of ongoing basis. Eddie Jackson is a split field safety at this point. You wouldn't want to put him at free safety. Marcus Williams, still the good center fielder. You have Hamilton, who I think you get the most value from playing slot corner and taking away the strong side of the football field. He's a very special, one-of-a-kind defender in that respect. And then they've got Ardarius Washington, who's played very well in camp and I think could be the team's starting slot corner on passing downs come week one. So we'll see that they have a lot of holes they can fill from safety.
Ken McKusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Inside linebacker, Roquan Smith, I think he's going to have a phenomenal year this year. And I think Trenton Simpson, if he's smart, he will follow every move that he makes.
There you go. I mean, really, we saw in the preseason just how they didn't have their top run defenders on the defensive line, but not having Roquan means they're not flowing to the ball the way they expect to. And Simpson, if he follows the Patrick Queen model, will be a much better player playing with Roquan. I think he's actually quite similar. I think the Ravens have hope that Simpson will be a better coverage player than Queen was, particularly at the same point in his career. And then Board and Ross is one of the weaker backup groups on the team. Board was brought in for special teams. Ross is a guy who had a car accident that they didn't announce for a little while in terms of what was the cause of him missing practice. But Ross's spot on the 53 to me is the most tenuous. He's a guy who could be replaced if they look around the league and they find somebody on the waiver wire that they like.
Let me ask you a question that's impossible to answer, but want to get your opinion on it. I think Mike McDonald was a defensive genius. I think he still is, and Seattle got themselves a gem. We shall find out. I don't know what Zachary Orr is going to be, and maybe it'll take some time to kind of see, but do you think it's a big step down, or do you think there was enough to learn? It's a hard question to answer because we haven't seen him in this role yet, but I do think it's important with some of the pieces you lost. And then, of course, now coming in, because that scheme last year was phenomenal.
Right. It was absolutely a fantastic year. The only thing I'll say about all of the defensive coaches lost, Denard Wilson, it would be another one, is that you aspire to that. You aspire to develop great coaches who bring their scheme for as long as they can to your organization, and you aspire to have a coach like John Harbaugh who can recreate that magic with the next guy as well. Have a succession plan. I think actually, looking at when John Harbaugh was actually hired, the Ravens put out a little publication that said, that talked about their exact hiring process and getting him. It's extremely well done, and it really gave you confidence that the fact that Bisciotti runs the organization and comes from the background he does really means succession planning is going to be done at a high level. The Ravens have always shown that on the defensive side of the ball. They have almost 100% internal hires in terms of their defensive coordinator. I think Dean Pease might be the exception. But they otherwise, you know, they've really had a path.
Yeah, see, and I love once you start going back and you look at the coaching trees. So if you go back to Green Bay with John Gruden, Andy Reid, I mean, you can go on and on with the guys that came from that. And then Andy Reid starting his own coaching tree with guys that have had success, which now includes John Harbaugh. And I think Harbaugh is going to have this opportunity as well when we look back on it, because he's been here so long, to go, well, wait a minute, this is a situation where maybe he built his tree and there's a lot of guys that have left here and had success in coaching.
Yep.
So. Yeah. It should be. It should be. Kim McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Tell folks all about film study.
Yeah, so the website is out there, of course. If you like offensive line scoring, I have that every week. That's out there now for some players for the preseason. And if you like a in-depth detail of the roster, that's out there as well in article or podcast form.
And by the way, I've jumped on the podcast with Ken a couple times. I told you I'll probably do it at some point this year as well. The thing I love about it is if you are a Ravens fan or just a football fan, there's so much information, and if you're one of those people that loves information, this show is absolutely for you.
I appreciate it, Jeremy. Yeah. We always appreciate having you on, too.
Thank you very much, Ken.
410-583-1057,
that's the number.
Spray, whatever.
Mike Bordick joins us from Baltimore Baseball tonight at 8:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Kahn giving out shovels.
I'm going to give a shovel out to me, Rob, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back, because I often do this to myself, and I'm not going to change doing it.
No, we don't want to hear about this.
This time of year.
What you're doing to yourself.
I get upset over it, but I'm still going to keep doing it.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to give shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057. Van. Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
My shovel goes to me. And maybe I should be giving it out to other people, because I know in my lifetime, there have been plenty of people that say, if you can't do it, I'll get Jeremy to do it, right? It's like, I always commit. I always say I want to do this and be helpful. My answer, I had that speech impediment that a lot of guys' ex-wives have had.
Can't say no?
They can't say no. So I say yes all the time. So I've been doing this thing.
Why is that to be a lot of guys' ex-wives?
It's just how it goes, man. So for me, I run all the pools, right? I do the, if you want to talk about March Madness, and if you want to talk about Survivor pools, and that's what I'm currently running. You know, anything that runs throughout the league, the Super Bowl block pool, all of those things. I'm the guy that runs it, and I routinely lose money on this because people don't pay. So I start trying to do this early where I'm collecting people to get into a pool. And it's all I post on social media, like sharing, because I want to fill up the pools that we have. And now I run two of them. Why? Because when we filled up the first one, people would come to me and go, oh, I already paid you and I forgot to sign up. Well, let me run a second pool because I can fill it out. And I've always filled it out. This year, I've probably posted that damn thing so many times. I don't know if it's the algorithm on social media. I'm like, is anyone seeing this? I emailed everyone in the league and I know what's going to happen. As soon as I cut it off and stop doing it, I'm going to get 10 emails saying, hey, is that poll still open? And it happens every year. And oh, by the way, I lose money on this thing.
Is it still open?
Yeah, it's still open.
Make a fake deadline.
It doesn't matter.
So tell everybody that that's a deadline, but it's actually not.
It doesn't matter because people either don't see it or pretend like they don't see it until football season starts. It's like, hey, I want to be in a survivor pool. It's September 3rd. Let me get in one now. You know, like, but it's not even just the fact of running it and how stressful it is. It's collecting the money, keeping the money, making sure you're getting all of it. And, you know, there are people that block their names on Yahoo. So you can't see their emails or anything. So you don't know, like, how do I get in contact with them? Do I just kick them out of the league?
Perfect crime.
Yeah. So it is frustrating, but I am that guy that continuously says yes. And I'm not, I know I'm not going to stop doing it. So this is a me problem and I'm complaining.
Yeah.
But
it totally is.
I want somebody to run a pool. I want to be in pools. It makes it easier if I'm the guy running it. So I'm going to continue doing it, even though it frustrates the hell out of me.
My shovel goes to adulting. Several examples of this. I hate having to make the right decision. Last night, I told you we went over to Costa's Inn. And so afterwards, I had steak. I had some crabs. So afterwards, they talked about all the great desserts they had. No, I can't do that. Got to make right decisions. And I just, Jeremy, I hate adulting. I would love to be the irresponsible one. You know what I mean?
You like to be me.
No, you're adult. You're adult. You don't. Okay.
All right. I make some bad decisions.
You don't. Well, we all do. You talk about how you don't pay the bills and all the stuff in your house.
Mm-hmm. I'm a grown child.
Do you help put the money in there?
Yeah.
So you're adult.
No, she handles everything.
But you provide, though. That is the partnership that you have with your wife.
I get an allowance, and depending on how I do in gambling, I'm happy or sad.
There you go. I hate adulting, man. Knowing when to go to sleep. You know, I hate when someone is being an ass at an establishment and you got to take the high road because you're being the adult. I hate it, man.
Swallowing your pride.
I just want to go a month with just like not caring, Joe, and having no repercussions from it. It's not the act that I care about. It's the repercussions that I don't like.
I had to drop $800 on new tires yesterday. And I was like, and I didn't even know I was going to do that. I just got new tires 3 months ago. And the tires that I got are already effed up.
Really?
Yes. And I guess how many days I'm outside of the warranty I am. 4 days.
Oh. And you know why that is, though. But what you have to do, or what you should do, is pay the ridiculous price for the really good tires.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a lot of money, $800 for tires, but that's, I mean, if you pay for the really good ones, you shouldn't have any issue. But also, if you blow out a tire with the really good ones, it sucks because now you're going back to it.
No. See, know what I got from Toyota?
Oh, you got the good deal.
I got the Toyota insurance
because
I got the Toyota financing, so they give you the tire insurance. Meaning, if something happens to those prematurely, like I run over something that gets a hole in it, or someone slashes them, something that's not wear and tear related, I get a free tire.
You got the good deal.
I love it.
Rob's got those good connections, so he doesn't have to adult.
No, it's just Toyota financing. It's not a good connection.
I ain't trying to hear from you. You got good connections, man. It's all right.
Oh, my God.
Joe's got holes in his tires. He got to pay for them.
Let's go to Andy in Dundalk. What's up, Andy?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Yo, doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I love listening to your guys' show, but
I appreciate it. But.
On different times, my shovel's going to you guys and the other people on the station that talk about things that are not sports related and completely inappropriate, like what you were talking about this morning. I have a lady in my car. I'm a Lyft driver, and I'm driving around elementary students, and you guys are talking about things that I know I would not want people talking to my great-grandchildren about. And I don't know why these subjects have to come up on a sports talk radio program that should be more family friendly than it is.
No, it's morning radio. It's morning talk radio.
Yeah.
Find me a morning talk radio that's more family friendly than everybody else. You can get on us about non-sports related stuff, but when we talk about something non-sports related that you agree with, do you have a problem with that?
No.
If it's non-sports related and you agree with it, do you have a problem?
A show later in the day, a few weeks ago, they were talking about lap dances and stuff.
No. Answer the question. If we get off topic from sports and it's something that you have an interest in, do you want us to stop talking then?
My, I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with things that are inappropriate.
So you, I'm sorry, sir. Thank you for listening, but you don't define inappropriate for us. The FCC does.
Here's my issue. All right, so I try to be upfront. You hear the tease of what we're going to talk about when we get into it. Told you what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
You know the segment that's coming up when we're not going to necessarily talk sports. That's a you problem, man. Like, I'm not changing up what I do on a morning show.
Thanks for listening, but yeah, the FCC defines clearly what's inappropriate for us.
And I can't speak for an afternoon show or a later show or whatever you want to say it is that talked about lap dances, but Who cares? Like, they're allowed to talk about whatever they want. They're not doing anything illegal.
And for the record, I don't like lap dances. Let's go to Bob and Timonium. What's up, Bob?
How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing well, Bob. How are you?
He's doing all right.
I'm doing well. Hey, I just wanted to say one of the reasons I listen to you guys is it's not strictly sports. You talk about a lot of other things. And your buddy over there has been told already about his homosexual innuendo.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Bob. Homo?
That's what it was. It was homosexual. It's 10 months ago. You might not have been around for that one, but a caller said he was tired of Jeremy's homosexual innuendo in the morning with the kids around. So if you know that's what's going on, man, you know, use another station or something. I like listening to y'all because you're on current events. I love it when Ed's around. I love the commissioner of Baltimore. You talk about a lot of things that affect people's lives. And when your show's off, I change over and listen to music the rest of the day because I'm beat to death with the sports. Just wanted to let that y'all know that.
Bob, appreciate it. And I've heard people call it homosexual, homosexual, but the pause in between kind of caught me, Bob. But you know, look, the thing about this, though, too, is, and I mean this. Look, I raised two kids. I coached kids in basketball from all the way up from, you know, when they're 5 years old through high school. If you people think some of the things that we talk you about people. In this show are inappropriate, sorry, if all of you, and I got to say you people, if people out there think that the things we talk about are, you know, not good for whatever you're listening to in the car, imagine what these kids are talking about in school.
Yeah.
Especially if you get to middle school and high school and realize what's going on and what's said. And if you don't think this stuff is talked about, you're naive. I don't care what type of household you have. Kids talk. And the bottom line is, too, like, it is. It's guy talk. It's men talk. It's, you know, there's things to talk about. Whether it's
you say guy talk, men talk, women are less offended by the things we talk
but
about
I'm
than
most men. They even when you're talking about those stuff, yeah. Some guys,
when I see the ladies out and about, they're talking about the other things that we're talking about more so than sports. Lee in Baltimore, what's up, Lee?
Hey, Jeremy, what's up, buddy? It's Lee.
Oh, what's up, Lee?
Hey, no one. Don't change for nobody, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I want management to hear that as well.
Appreciate
I listen
it.
To the show every morning, and you're the reason why. So forget what everybody else say.
Lee.
What happened to Jonathan from Essex?
Oh, man, what happened to Jonathan from
Essex? Lee, honestly, he wasn't doing well for a while.
Well, he was banned from the show too.
Well, not just that. He wasn't. I saw Jonathan from Essex, and he wasn't doing well.
See, can I say this? Because I was probably the last guy to say to ban Jonathan, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that when we were talking? Because even when he was disrespectful to other people, I'd still let him come on the show when I was hosting.
Right.
And I love Jonathan. I've talked to him for years. I just don't like. There's a couple things you can do, but when you're insinuating racism.
Yeah.
About certain things.
Yes.
To me, it's like we make fun of stereotypical stuff and we have fun with it and I get it. But when you say something that's directed towards someone and insinuating they're racist about a certain topic, that's not fair.
And if a white dude called in and made that and insinuated that I'm in that and you all accepted it, then I'd have a problem with it.
Yeah.
So I'd have a problem with it. Period.
But I love Jonathan. I ran into Jonathan with his son playing basketball and came out and was talking to him before one of my high school games.
More injuries for the Orioles. We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Mike Bordick from Baltimore Baseball Tonight joins us on The Fan. 8:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Calling us right now. Talking to him right now. Mike Bordick from Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Baltimore Orioles. Well, Mike, what did you think of the Hall of Fame ceremony over the weekend?
Oh, I thought it was great, man. Both guys so deserving. I mean, Nick Markakis, what a pro, man.
Yeah.
And you step back and you look at his career numbers, and holy cow, so impressive, right? Borderline Hall of Famer and one of the best defensive outfielders of all time. He's got the highest fielding percentage as a right fielder in the history of baseball. So, you know, that's great to see. And, of course, Terry Crowley. The king of swing, right? One of the greatest pinch hitters of all time.
Yep.
And, of course, had an influence on guys like Nick Markakis. Ortiz from the Red Sox came up with the Twins, and Crowley had a hand in that. And, of course, he helped me as a player when I came over to Baltimore. So I think a lot of people respect him, his offensive game, and both as a player and as a coach.
Real quick, Mark Gagas, 3-time Gold Glove winner, and you talk about borderline Hall of Famer, and I agree with you. Just under 2,500 hits for his career, career .288 batting average, career .781 OPS, career .357 on base percentage. Those are gaudy numbers, my man. Gaudy numbers.
No, they sure are. Yeah. He had such a great offensive approach. Sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
No, no, you're good. Go ahead. Finish
that was Jeremy. You can cut him off.
Yeah, you can cut me off anytime. I'm not going to say anything important, Mike.
No, he had such a great, consistent offensive approach that I think it is an approach that should be taught today. I mean, he really had his bat in the zone a long time, protected himself against high velocity and the off-speed pitches, and kind of had to learn his way through. I love his history, right, as a young player, and we can all kind of relate to that because we're witnessing it with a lot of the Orioles' young players right now. He really struggled for about a couple months, and a lot of people wanted him to go back to the minor leagues, and it was really Crowley that kind of stuck with him, and next thing you know, he's off to just an incredible career.
Mike, we were kind of talking about different sets, four-game series, three-game series, even those two-game series, and how weird things can get. With four-game series, I'm always fine with the split depending on who you're playing and where you're playing. You get a three-game set against the Dodgers. Do you think you have expectations going in there? Is it like, don't get swept, let the chips fall where they may? Do players think about that stuff?
Well, I think the Orioles should have the mindset of winning the series, right, and know that it's a challenge. And I think, you know, all season long, these guys have been up against challenges. The league's kind of come back to them. Everybody's kind of playing the same kind of baseball. But not the Dodgers. Dodgers play pretty well at their home park, right? I think they've had their ups and downs. But, you know, it's hard to go out to Chavez Ravine and win a series. But you got to have that attitude. If you go in there and think, we don't want to get swept, you will get swept. There ain't no doubt about it. You better have the winning kind of attitude going in. And I think the Orioles kind of always have that approach. Let's win the series. And it starts right here with game one. So really important game tonight could really help set some momentum to go against one of the best teams in baseball.
Mike Bordick, former Baltimore Oriole, now currently with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us right now. Mike, each year you see Corbin Burns strikeout to innings pitch numbers get closer and closer together. He used to have a lot more strikeouts than innings pitched. Each year you see those evening out. This is the first year he's had more innings pitched than strikeouts. And by no means am I saying he's done at 30, but is Corbin Burns going through something as a pitcher where he's learning to get outs some other way other than the strikeouts?
I think you're right, Rob. I think in all pitchers, if they're fortunate enough to, you know, stay in the league an extended amount of time, they have to evolve. They have to kind of recreate themselves as they go. And I think, you know, I think Burns still has great wipeout stuff, and I think he could rack up strikeouts. But I think as a veteran guy, finding ways to get deeper into ball games, maybe pitch to more contact early, because he's got great movement on everything. I don't think his stuff has diminished at all. I just think it's about evolving and continuing this process and continuing to try to learn ways to make himself better, and I think that's where he is right now.
Mike, as we look at this Dodgers team, the front end of that lineup is daunting, right? When you've got Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, all former MVPs, and you're followed up by Will Smith, one of the best catchers, and now Max Muncy's back. The one thing I kept saying to Rob is you can't let the bottom of the lineup beat you when you have all those guys up top.
Man, you got that right. Absolutely. But my gosh, they got some pretty good hitters at the bottom right now, too. They've got guys really starting to emerge, kind of come into their own, and they're getting healthier. And I think that's what every team really shoots for. But, man, it is tough to go through that gauntlet at the top of the Dodgers lineup. I think you got to stay aggressive, but you obviously don't want to just keep putting guys on base because every guy has power potential. They got to have a good game plan. They've got to obviously execute that game plan, and hopefully they're able to do that. And maybe they can, you know, the Dodgers hit into some tough luck. But, pitching's got to be on their game, man, for the next three games.
Mike Bordick, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Mike, look forward to having you coming back to the show.
Yeah, me too, man, me too. But I'll tell you what, this is so much fun right now, and I know we all want the Orioles to just, you know, get on a roll here. And listen, they're going to get healthier too, and I think that's something to really look forward to. Yeah. But it's still so captivating to me to watch these teams, man, kind of battle through, fight all the way down to the stretch. This is the great time of year.
I agree. Couldn't agree more, man. Thanks a lot for your time this morning.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Did you see Randy Arozarena shooing off the Tampa Bay Rays dugout as he approached the plate? He was shooing them off.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like him.
I said,
hold on. I can attest to
this. Oh, you can? Okay.
Yeah, because you and I talked about it, and you're like, I'm not sure a lot of people on that team like him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not one of those guys that makes himself like him.
Mm-hmm. They don't like him. They
didn't
like him.
Very kind of I mean my guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm better than you guy. Ian Park Heights. What's up, E?
Robbo.
What's up, man?
Comedian. What's going on, fam?
Hey, I got my hand on the dump button just in case, man.
It's cool, buddy. You can take it off. It's cool.
I can tell you, listen, in his defense, he texted me after the show apologizing, man.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care about
and
that.
And I'm like, dude, it was funny. It was inappropriate, but it's funny.
Yeah, man. I got my feelings a little bit that day, comedian, just like you did today a little earlier, man. So, listen.
It happens.
Here's the thing, man. You're right. It happens, man. We are who we are. You know what I'm saying? No disqualified for me. So, on the Deion Sanders thing, fellas, and Rob, please, just give me a little second, right? Because I'm trying to really think about it. So, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
With your situation with Deion, man, right? I hear you tell a story a lot, right? You say, yeah, he's an a-hole, this, that, and the other. For 5 minutes on the walk, he kept telling you how J.O. not there. I'm not doing your interview, right? Yeah. Now, I can understand that. To you, when you said he's there, so he should have took your word for it, I can understand how that might have made you feel. But when I think about it, I'm like, well, you know, maybe another member of the media somewhere down the line has led them astray, you know, and sometimes all it takes is one. Now, I'm not saying this is what happened, you know what I'm saying, because I'm not denying that he's an a-hole, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying that for your particular situation, maybe somebody messed it up before you, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but that could be true, but does it require telling me that over and over? Like, we're talking about probably a 100-yard walk, right? We're walking, and it's nonstop. After I answered him twice about it, to keep saying it over and over again, he just shows himself every turn. He is one of the more selfish, I mean my guys I've seen in my life. And, you know, like, I usually give guys a couple of chances. I've met players that were a-holes the first time I met them. Second time I met them, they were great. And it's like, okay, maybe that first time was wrong. I've never had a situation around him where he's been a good guy.
The season is going to begin. The NFL season will begin with the number one and number two players playing against one another. We'll talk about that at 9:15. But on the other side, Mounty lands on the IL with a wrist sprain. If the O's don't make a deep playoff run, will you wonder what if because of all of the injuries? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.